1975, the inevitable happened. I started drinking, and I came out to Los Angeles on. It was about July 4th, I remember, and started drinking severely, and it was my last 6 months of the worst drinking and worst nightmare I've ever experienced. When I started hallucinating, I was drinking lots of tequila. I loved tequila. I loved what it did to my brain. It unzipped my brain and made me mad, and I saw visions, and I had religious visions, which is very odd for an atheist. And I was impossible to work with. I was making a television film up here, and people would back away from me because I'd say such crazy things. And this was the next day on a hangover. And on Christmas 75, my wife left me. She went back to England to give herself a break, to let me die, or whatever she believed I had to do. She went back to see her folks. And I remember I saw her off at the airport, and she was very cold, very unloving. I said, "Have a good Christmas." She said, "Yes, I will." She said, "You have a good Christmas too." I told her that I may be an alcoholic and may get up. She said, "Well, good for you." But she was ice cold. She didn't want to know anymore. And I waved her goodbye, and I thought, well, that's the end of that. I was very callous, and I thought, that's the end of that. So, tough. My marriage is over. That's the way I dealt with everything. No grief, no shame. Adios, amigos, and that's it. I didn't care about anyone or anything or about myself. That's been my theme right through my life. Don't care about anyone or about anything. And so I took off and I went down to Arizona. I was on my way to Arizona. I was on my way to New Mexico. In fact, I wanted to get those mushrooms they talk about in Carlos Castaneda. Although I'd never really read Carlos Castaneda, but I'd heard about these magic mushrooms. Because booze, alcohol wasn't doing it for me anymore. And I spent one miserable Christmas Eve down in, Christmas Eve and Christmas morning down in Phoenix in this really bad dive hotel. And I wrote a little note to myself. I met myself in Phoenix, Arizona. And I thought I would make a good country western song. Maybe I thought I'd become a singer, you know. I eventually stumbled back on the 27th. I arrived back in Los Angeles and I sat in my apartment in Westwood, feeling the loneliness that I've never felt before or since. That kind of yellow loneliness. It's that 5 o'clock in the evening, the evening shadows are beginning to lengthen. And I sat looking at the apartment wall across the other side of the courtyard, and I knew something was over, and I just wanted to die. I'd been down to the Beverly Glen market, and I bought a bottle of tequila, a bottle of orange juice, and I was going to try and make a tequila sunrise. And I got as far as maybe a couple of glasses, and I don't remember much. The phone rang, and I was invited to a party. What happened, the long short of it, was that I went to this party. I don't remember anything about it to this day, except I remember sitting under the piano, which is not a normal way to behave, sitting under the piano, having a fight with someone, and now having an argument. And I'd lost my car. It was as simple as that. What I'd done, I'd left my car, I parked in the middle of the street with the engines running, the radio on, and somebody told me about this, and I stood on the doorstep of this house from which I was being kicked out. And I said, "I lost my car." They said, "No, you left it in the middle of the street. Don't you remember?" I said, "No, I don't. All I know is that I'm an alcoholic and I need help desperately." And the curtain lifted a little. I saw a little bit of light. I remember looking up at the sky and these eucalyptus trees above me. And I said to this man, he happened to be my agent, I said, "Somebody up there likes me and I don't know who it is." And on the Sunday, the 27th, 20 years ago, I sat in my apartment. I had a couple of bottles of beer in the fridge, maybe. I think there were a couple of bottles of beer. I didn't want them. But I knew it was over. And I felt the real damnation of real loneliness. And I didn't know what to do. And I thought, well, I've got to get to this Alcoholics Anonymous outfit, wherever it is. And I phoned them. I got the number on a piece of paper, and it was there on the table. I kept looking at it and thinking about it. The next morning, I phoned up the central office in West Los Angeles, that branch on Westwood Boulevard, and I walked in there, and an elderly lady answered the phone. Her name was Dorothy. She's dead now. Turned out she wasn't an alcoholic. She was there looking after the phones because she honored AA so much they did save her husband's life. And he was in the same business I'm in. And she said, "Would you like somebody to come around and see you?" I said, "No, I'll come in and see you," because I knew that I didn't want anyone coming around with a Bible and a bottle of booze to my house. full of charity and smiles. I hated everyone, so I didn't want any charity or help. But I knew I desperately needed it. So I walked into that meeting, I walked into that central office, and I met this